Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Well, as you know, we're headed once again toward Christmas, that season of wonder, reflection, excitement, remembering what God did for us so many years ago in the most unlikely of places and the most unlikely of ways. And I was preparing for our time together today. I found that I could only shake my head again as I tried to understand it all. Of course, when I finished preparing, I still couldn't understand it. I mean, think about it for a moment. To have the Son of the Most High God born to a virgin in Bethlehem in a cold, damp, dark, and dirty stable, laying in a hay-filled manger behind an inn with a few shepherds and a few barnyard animals there to celebrate the wonder of the moment. It was all too strange. We'd all be fired from whatever job we're in, whatever business, sports world, institution, whatever, if we proposed a plan as strange as that. But Isaiah prophesied that birth many years earlier when he announces, is recorded in chapter 7 and verse 14 of the book of Isaiah, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign," he said. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, of course, meaning God with us. But I'm sorry, my friends, it's simply not the way any of us would have introduced the Savior in the world. Really, is it? No. Stop with me for a moment. Think about it. Mary was a young girl, maybe 14 to 16 years of age. No doubt she came from a poor family, yet there she was, chosen by God for perhaps the most important act of obedience in all of history, the virgin birth. What a strange, strange way to save the world. Only, though, through the mind and heart of God. Of course, we need to remember that we are, as I said, talking about God here, who was there before anything, as my granddaughter Ellie reminded me a few years ago when she asked, "Gran, who made God?" And if we're honest about it, a lot of his ways, well, not only are they hard to understand, but they seem a bit strange at times. I mean, after all, through the ages, he has communicated with us through angels and dreams. He has written messages on walls and talked through a donkey. He led his people out of slavery in Egypt, across the desert, with a column of clouds by day and a column of fire by night to show them the way. He had a big fish chase down and swallow a deserter named Jonah. He parted the Red Sea. So that his people could escape to safety. He healed the sick and brought people back to life. He watched his son nailed on the cross and then raised him back to life from the tomb for you and for me. Which of those doesn't seem a bit strange and hard, hard to understand? Yet he did them all. By the way, I still haven't answered Ellie's question, who made God? So any of you have any suggestions, just please let me know. So when are we going to submit to that God, to surrender and simply realize that we are never, never going to understand the infinite mind of God. I wonder why we always seem to have to understand what and how our holy, all-powerful God does what he does before we fully submit, surrender, and follow. I wonder why we have to know, well, okay, but what are you planning? What's next? And believe instead in just to simply believe in all he is and all he does. Isn't it enough for us to look back and see all that he has done? Because the truth is that we will, you ready? You hope you're sitting down. We will never, you and I will never, never understand God's ways, God's mind and wonder on this side of heaven, that is. Believe and follow. Surrender. That's the way. Yet, even when we do, or try to, we're a little slow at it. And I would suggest a little inconsistent at it. At least I am. But did you notice Mary? Did you notice her? There she was, young, poor, a virgin, and probably not too sophisticated with the ways of the world and her culture. And she asked a quick question of the angel Gabriel when he told her what was going on and what was going to happen. How will this be since I'm a virgin? She asked, just making sure he knew, just in case he needed to know and didn't know. And when the angel Gabriel answered her and told her how it would happen, that was it. She was all in. She didn't say, "Are you nuts? Really? Angel, come on, you got to be kidding me. A baby? Me? How could this happen?" No, my friends, no. None of those words came from Mary's lips. Instead, dear, sweet, young Mary, with a quiet, trusting acceptance, said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." She didn't question. She had to be overwhelmed, though, but by everything that was happening to her all of a sudden. But she didn't seek to control or question the situation. Instead, she simply said, "Let it be." Mary didn't have any idea how she would explain what was happening to her family or to the family of Joseph, to whom she was engaged to be married, or to the friends who might surely want to know what was going on when they saw her walking around the neighborhood, still unmarried, but getting larger in her midsection, appearing to be with child, maybe, pregnant even. She didn't understand it all and couldn't explain it all. But, it didn't matter. She trusted God. She kept her sense of wonder at who he was and all he could do. "Let it be born in me," she said. And so instead, Mary gave up control of everything and simply responded, "Let it be." Mary trusted and surrendered to the one she knew she could trust and gave up control of her life to him and his plan. "Let it be," she said, "according to your word." Reading that story again in Luke causes me to realize that Mary's life at times is a lot like ours. We find ourselves in the middle of life, overwhelmed by things we don't understand. Darkness pushes light out of the way. Darkness sets in, not knowing which way to turn or what we should do with the troubles and the decisions that we face. At times, we've all reached a point where darkness is all we see and we don't know what to do or where to go for help and guidance. We look for answers, and in brokenhearted moments, we seek God's wisdom and direction, and hope we'll recognize it when it comes. We may know the answers. We may know the way, but we need the courage to step out and to move forward. It's about us in those situations and how we feel rather than following the one we know we can trust, the one who knows the way. We struggle to get where Mary was, surrendered to the wonder of God. But my friends, that's the only place we should want to be ever. I don't know where they were in their walk of faith with our God of wonder, Mary's God, but even the Beatles recognize the importance of this incredible moment in history in one of their classic songs, "Let It Be." Listen to some of the words. "When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me. speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. In my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. And when the brokenhearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. Mary's example to you and to me and to all the world in that divine moment in history as she stood before the angel Gabriel tells us how to face all that is ever before us. Mary's example points us to the faithfulness and wonder of God and to just give God control, to surrender to the one that we can always trust in the midst of whatever we are going through, darkness and trouble, confused and uncertain, feeling down and brokenhearted. Her example to us is to give God control, to trust and surrender our way to the God who created us, the God who sent his son for you and for me, to simply follow God. She said, "Let it be born in me. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." What about you? Tired of trying to run it all? Not sure what's next or which way to go? Maybe you know the way, but you need some courage to step out and move forward. Maybe it's time to stop trying to run the world and predict the future. My friends, it's not about you and it's not about me. And we don't want it about that. We want it about him. So maybe it's time instead to give the God of it all, the God of wonder, the God who loves us, the control of our lives. And the neat thing about doing that is this: we will see our lives unfold in ways that we would never and could never have imagined. Let it be. Let it be. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for the simple message from a precious young girl who got it. She got it. She knew she could trust you. She accepted what the angel said, what you said through Angel Gabriel. Thank you for that example. Thank you for that reminder. Lord, today, all of us simply say, let it be. We trust you. Help us to embrace that, not just in this season, not just today, but every day of our lives, to fill our lives with those words. Let it be. What next, Lord? We trust you. Surrender to him. He then makes us all he created us to be and uses us with him to help others to become all that they were created to be. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do with us and for us, Lord. And thank you especially this time of year, we have to remember what you did for us over 2,000 years ago by sending your son. Strange way, Lord, but you're the best, and we know it, and you are God. We love you. Thanks for all you do for us and with us. In your son's precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.